Abi. Hello?
Yes, I
Yes.
hear.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I said sanctification is in process, in the process that we go through. It's not a
Yes.
one thing, it's not a one shot. And
Amen.
no Christian is fully sanctified. None. 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 It is a process. It is a process daily. We are becoming renewed in our minds and in our bodies and our souls, whatever.
Yes. Yes, it's a process. And anyone else want to get a, have a go at it? Yes, so from it, we're seeing that Sister Scott would have mentioned, Sister Thelma would have mentioned that true believers do commit these sins. Amen.
Yeah, can I say something to Brother Ev?
Yes, Sister
That's why
Evan.
the Bible said that we should mortify the deeds of the body, right?
Amen.
And that's why it says, if you be in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And if we don't have our focus on God, we can commit those sins. We can be drawn away, by the enemy, And if we are not in the Word, if we are not praying, if we are not fasting, if we are not, deliberately doing what the word says to do, we will fall into these sins because we see it happening before our eyes, even pastors, the things that we are reading about these days. So we can.
Yes.
So
Amen.
true, so true. But again,
Yes.
Brother Everton, if you commit it, you are not a true believer still, because the sins are contrary to God's will and law, and they are serious offenses. So, people, if you are really washed in the blood of Jesus, you are not going to commit, especially homosexuality, all those sins.
If I may intervene, we are human, and sexual sin is not the only sin that we commit. The only thing that is done within the body. But as Christians, there are people who will tell the white lie, and people who will say things that is not showing any love and unforgiving spirit. So all
Yes.
these are seen as it's amount to sin, because all sin is sin.
Yes.
So when the believer fall from grace, we are welcome back, because the arms are stretched out still to welcome us home like prodigals. So the pastor, which should set an example, yes, but he's a human. And all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory. So it's just for us to make our wrong right, our crooked path straight, confess our sins, and repent.
Yes.
But again, some of the sins, then some of us are presumptuous. Well,
Amen.
presumptuous because we know we good. We have done a sin and we ask God's forgiveness. And you go back and you do it again. Not because God is a forgiving God, we are going to continue to do the sin over and over and over. So that would be presumptuous sin.
Well, Paul
Yes.
did say, not because you have, because grace abound, then you should not abuse it.
Indeed, must be
Amen.
abound. Grace in much more abound.
Yes. So
Amen.
you
Yes.
don't, as believers, we don't practice sin. And as Minister rightly said, Minister Lynette rightly said, you don't do it presumptuous. You don't practice sin.
Let me talk now.
And Sister Granto said that not because grace abound, we must continue in sin, because we know that we're going to get forgiveness. So true believers who do sin, we resent that sin. We must resent that sin and seek to gain victory over it. And we look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. It said, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father.
Jesus Christ the righteous.
You know, so when you're a child of God, when you're saved, when you're a true child of God, we are equipped with a conscience.
That's right. That's what
amen.
I was going to say.
We're equipped with a conscience. And when you trespass, when you sin, it affects your conscience. Amen. And you know you can't have no peace until you go beg God for forgiveness.
Amen.
When you go repent, that's the time that you're clear. Amen. But if you are a person like this that continually, habitually sinning, your conscience going to be you're going to damage your conscience.
Amen.
You're not going to damage it, it's going to go away.
Yes, amen. Yeah,
like a snared, it's going to be like a snared iron. Like it's like you're now doing it without even.
You're alleging that you're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So a true believer does not practice sin.
That's true.
Amen. You do not practice sin. You will sin because we sin by omission and by commission.
We can
knowingly or we can unknowingly offend another person or offend God. We can unknowingly.
That conscience.
Uh-huh.
Yes. We're not feeding our spiritual man enough to really withstand the wiles of the devil.
Amen.
And if when we have the opportunity to feast in the word of God, read the word of God and pray, you open up yourself to commit in sin. Because it's the word of God, and you read it, that empower you to overcome sin.
Yes.
And so now you know what sin is. And when you pray, it's like you make yourself available for the Spirit to use you so you can not heal to temptation. Temptation will come. But it's when you heal to it,
That is sin.
Yeah, when you heal to the temptation, the temptations will come. You know, so, yes. So, this is a message of grace. You know, past sin should not define us. The past sins should not define who we are. God's transformation, that's what defines a Christian. The transformation, the transformative power of God. That's what defines us.
Amen.
You know, word of God tells us that there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Who are not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, so our past sin does not define who we are. Amen. It's the transformative power of God that defines who we are.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes. Verses 12-14. Do we have a reader for verse 12-14?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 6.
Yes.
Go ahead, sis.
All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body.
Amen.
And God hath both rise up the Lord, and will also rise up with us by his own power.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Bless the Lord. He said, all things. Paul said in verse 12 that all things are lawful for me.
Yes.
But not all things are beneficial. Not all things are expedient. It's not beneficial. All things are lawful. Paul responded to the Corinthians' slogan. I guess in those days they had a slogan that they said, boy, I have the right to do anything. And we as a people know, seems like we are utilizing that slogan as well, saying that we are our own big man and big woman. We have the right to do anything. You know, by emphasizing that freedom in Christ does not mean license. For it's like we're emphasizing that when we have freedom in Christ, we can do anything that we want to do. You know, he specifically, Paul specifically condemns sexual immoralities, prostitution, and prostitution was a common practice in Corinth, in the city of Corinth, in those days, prostitution, you know. But Paul would condemns it because it unites believers with something unholy. Yes, sexual sin. It unites you as a believer with something that is unholy, defiling the body that belongs to God. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost that lives in you. You know, it was purchased by Christ, so it should be used to glorify God. You know, I said that it unites the believer with and defile the body of Christ. You know, when you practice sexual sin, whatever demon that person commit is attached to that person, it becomes your portion now as well, because you've now become one with that person. You know, so if that person have a disease, you're going to, you're at risk to contract that disease. If that person have unfamiliar spirit, you're going to contract that unfamiliar spirit. You know, if that person have any sort of hang-ups or whatever, is now you're accepting that portion as your portion as well. Amen. And it can start there as your downfall. You know, your downfall can start from that one entanglement with that person on a sexual level. Amen. So Paul said the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God raised Jesus, who also raised us up. The body has ultimate significance in God's plan. You know, so Christian freedom must be governed by what honors God and serve the purpose of God for the body. What Paul is saying here is something that we have to, as Christians, we have to take note of. You know, because it speaks volume. We are not to associate ourselves in this, you know, in any sin at all, much less in a sin that involves the body. You know, all the other sins are outside the body. You know, you lie, you thief, you curse, you swear, you're drunk. But the sexual sin, you do it inside the body. You're defiling your own body. So it's very significant, you know, and you will see that sometimes you have some sort of hang-ups on you, and you're trying to wonder where you pick up that spirit, you know, and sometimes it's from those relationships that you had, you know, cause all sort of demons to be attacking you.
Oh yes. Stuff.
You know, worse if you impregnate that person. You know, you're tied to that person. With that child. You know, so you're now tied to that person. If you want to tie yourself to a person, have sexual intercourse with the person.
Jesus. Oh, God.
You're tied to that person for life. You carry that burden. And it's only when you carry it to Calvary that it can be lifted. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. So you will have that hang up through. It affects your finance. Because now your finance is not only for you alone. What you work is going to be shared for that person. And if you have multiple sexual partners, you're going to share it with all those multiple sexual partners. And you end up with nothing. So it starts to break down your family life. It starts to cause you now to compromise your standard in such a way to accommodate that new relationship that you are now in. You know, so sex is not something to be used to pass time or to just simply enjoyment. It has a lifelong. It have an effect. It have an effect on it. You know, it's not business as usual. And there is spirits. And you, if there's any men on here, you could identify with me. But even the ladies too. If you realize that after such intercourse, both persons become so tired and so sleepy and whatever, because there was a transfer of spirit, and you're now drained because what was in you is now drained out, and you become so weak and ineffective. They can cut off Samson's locks when Delilah could cut off his locks and everything there because he was so weak. You know?
Hey.
Yeah, it you lose virtue from your body. So it's something to be entered. That's why, you know, Paul knew what he was saying when he said that, when he said this. And as Christians, we see it for ourselves too. It's the only sin that you can commit that is in the body. It's not without the body. And it transfers. It makes a transfers. You know, there's a deposit. There's a transaction that takes place. Mm-hmm. Amen. So he said, flee.
That is so deep.
Flee it.
So
deep. Run from it. Run from it. You know? Run from it. It's not business as usual. Not after that transaction is
flee. Flee fornication.
Yes. Yes. Amen. So flee immorality. So let's look further down from 15 to 20. Verse 15 to 20.
Okay, I'll read it. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Amen. Bless the Lord, Sister Grant. Yes, believers are to treat We are to treat our bodies as members of Christ. Simple. Treat it as members of Christ. You know, and again, verse 16 mentioned what we just discussed. It said that the two shall become one flesh. If you sleep with a person, whether it be a prostitute or anyone, you become one with that person. I want to emphasize it. You become one with that person. What anything that person have, you now have it. If it's crab laws, you now catch crab laws. If it's scabies, you know, catch scabies, you start scratch, you start scratch. If it's lice, you start pick out lice.
HIV, gonorrhea.
If it's HIV, you have HIV, it's life threatening.
Mm-hmm. You lie with flea.
Yes. It's life threatening.
Yes.
You know, so if you're single or Paul would address that in the next, in chapter 7. We won't go into the single and the marriage and whatever. We just deal with the sin, the sexual sin right now. You know? Because it's a big deal and it was very prevalent in the Corinthians church. And I know it is prevalent in the churches today, day and age. Because everywhere you look, you see sex. If they're advertising something on the television or anything, they use some form of sexual arousal in order to advertise anything. You know, if you're watching a movie, and in order for the movie to become interesting, it have to have sex scene.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like more and more in the society that we now live, you can't just walk out the road and it's like you're watching a blue movie. Just walk on the street. People walking naked out there.
Naked, yes.
You know, so we as Christians have to appreciate that we have to keep in the word in order to prevent ourselves. Sister Camille?
Bless the Lord. Good night, everyone. So, Deacon, you were saying that everything, two things first. The one, you were saying that everything that they have is scabies or any sexually transmitted diseases or stuff, they get it. And it is so true. But there's another side to it that is not usually seen, the spiritual side. Because every baggage that this individual carries in the spirit,
Amen.
Your baggage them know. Because any demon them are wrestle with, you start to wrestle with it. Because you have taken on that person. And so you take on everything that person comes with. You know? And some of us, we
are fighting
some battles. We don't know why. We don't understand why.
Why?
Some of those things.
Yes,
and Sister Lyria mentioned soul ties. I had put it in the chat earlier. When you become connected to that person and you have, of course, an exchange take place, sometimes it's a soul tie. And as Deacon would say, it Calvary, you take it to where those can be broken. So imagine you have 6, 7, 8 partners before you're married and you're married now. Every baggage for those persons, unless you literally bring it to the Lord and, you know, ask him for them to be broken. You carry all of them over into the marriage.
Poor husband.
You understand? And your husband carrying all of his partners over.
That's a lot.
The marriage.
Yes.
And then you wonder why the marriage can't work.
A baggage.
You know?
Too much baggage.
You know? But it's true. And then the next thing I want to comment on, I saw a video some time ago where the pastor was talking about sex before marriage. And he was saying that marriage is not the ring or the paper. That's a representation to society. But, and I can see where this verse now is talking. I feel like this is the verse he was referring to, verse 16. When you're joined, it says marriage is when the husband and the wife have intercourse. That's when the two become one. Yes. You know, he was saying the certificate and the ring and the ceremony is just a show to the public to say, listen, you know, this is what is happening. I'm getting married to so and so. But then the actual marriage would have been that night when husband and wife become one, when they have consume. That intercourse,
and consummate the marriage.
Exactly. Exactly. So I just wanted to share that.
Yes.
Amen. Sister Tanya?
Amen.
Yeah, I just wanted to piggyback, but it's very, very true. It's very true. And, you know, we're talking about it on a spiritual level, but it, you know, when we dig a little bit deeper, we have to think about covenants, you know? All throughout the scriptures, old and new, there is bloodshed. You know, in the old covenant, there were, you know, you have to do animal sacrifices, right? The priest did animal sacrifices and things like that, right? Yes. And in the new, of course, we have the precious blood of Jesus. So when we're thinking about it, like, you know, we mentioned husband and wife. That is why, you know, when a woman, you know, the first time there is the shedding of blood. That is what really seals the deal. And Amen. It's not even just like the first time, because if you, you know, scientifically on a microscopic level, pretty much every time you engage, even if it's on a very small scale, like a microscopic level, there is bodily fluids. And 90% of the time there is blood. So that is a covenant. And so that is why we inherit those spiritual attachments and soul ties, because you're entering into something that is so sacred because there is shedding of blood. So I just wanted to emphasize that point too. That's why it's so sacred. And I just wish that this was taught more frequently, especially to the young people, because when we tell them certain things, they think it's because we just don't want them to have fun, but they don't realize the seriousness, the magnitude yes. of their actions. And so, like, even for myself, I wish I when I learned these kind of things, I said, I wish I knew this when I was a young person. I really wish, because I really think it would have changed the trajectory of my life. And so I really enjoyed this teaching because it's something that needs to be highlighted and emphasized, especially to the young people. So let them know that it's not just fun and games. It's nothing casual. There's no such thing as casual sex. So thank you. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you. Amen.
Bless the Lord. Bless Amen. The Lord. Bless the Lord. Yes. Yes, sister, it's a very serious thing, and when we get all these hang-ups and stuff and we can't even trace where it's coming from, you have sexual intercourse with one person and you end up having sexual intercourse with that one person, represent like 50 different persons, you know. It's like a pyramid scheme, you know, venturing into and stuff, and it goes deeper than you think and stuff. I was listening to a prominent television preacher, and she was single at that time, and she was saying she's attractive and everything, and she's been praying to God for to get a soulmate, a husband, and it was so intense that she hears silence from heaven. She never hear nothing from heaven until she had to go into fasting, and the Lord would wake her up one night and tell her that in order for she to get married, she need to divorce. It's not a matter of marriage anymore. It's a matter of divorce. All them soul ties where she have, you know, all them man where she have a think about her body from all over the country and all over the place, thinking about the fun that she need to divorce herself from those men before she can think about marriage, because her body is scattered all over the globe. You know, and she said when she got that revelation from the Lord, it bring her down so weak, she have to put all of that now on the cross, at the foot of the cross, carry to Calvary for it to be lifted, because burdens are lifted at Calvary, so she can get the release, she can get the divorce from all these stains Relation. That she have been carrying Relation. All over the years mm-hmm. and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, free herself from it before she can talk about marriage. you know, before she can talk about marrying to another person. You know, because the marriage union, as Sister Camille would have said, you know, is a consummation. Take a woman and call her your wife. So it would spell that the first person that you have intercourse with, that person is your soul tie. That person, no wonder why, you know, people in marriage have so much feel so threatened when their partner have anything to do with their ex or whatever, because they know that is a threat, especially if it was a first love. You know, so when you look at Christians in the church, are people who give their life to Christ, look at them as a delicate egg. They have been going through hell and high waters, all the baggage that they come with. They need to be nurtured. It's not for us to reject them, you know, because they come with some baggages that only God can understand the depths of it and whatever. And most of it was done in ignorance, but sin tarnish your reputation, sin stains, sin carrying a lifelong attachment. And a believer, when it comes on to sexual sin, you know, it's not spin seven times and you get over it. You know, it's not the spin seven times one. This is the one that you have to leave at Calvary. You have to take it to the Lord in prayer. You know, that's why the songwriter would pen this song and said, take all these memories of sin from me. You know, because then you come into, then you know, get a lifelong partner, a marriage partner, and all you can do is to compare that partner that you have that is legal and signed for, that partner that you signed for, you're comparing that person with another person that you have been with. And it causes a strain. And the relationship, no wonder why so much marriage end up in divorce. We have to curse that demon from the pit of hell. You know, the one that attaches to you. That is the one that attaches, that come with legions. You know, it's not a simple thing. And it's something that is a one-to-one. This is a one-to-one type of teaching. It's a one-to-one. You know, you wouldn't find this on a Sunday morning.
No.
You know, but this goes very deep. And I'm glad we have some young people online here that can take heed to it. As Sister Tanya would have said, and I joined with her too, if I've known these things from a long time, I'll be careful with the persons that I get in contact with. You know, I'll be so careful in choosing and stuff. You know, I would let God choose instead of me choose by my own lustful desires and my own lustful eyes. You know, yes. So, Word of God said, plead every sin is outside the body, but sexual immorality is one that is done in our own body. Your body, our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. When these urges are these things come upon you, just remember that your body is now, as a Christian, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. You know what the Ark of the Covenant is? It's the very presence of Almighty God. You're carrying with you. You're carrying the presence. We as Christians are carrying the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant that Israel used to carry with them through and through. That was in the tabernacle. We are carrying it now inside of us. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we must know what we do with the body. What we do with this body.
Praise God.
You know, we are spiritual being. We are spiritual beings. We were made in the likeness of God. Come, let us make man in our own likeness.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
You know, in our own image. We were made in God's own image. That means if you look at a person, you look at the dwelling place of Almighty God when you look at a Christian. The dwelling place of a Christian. So we believe that our hands are useful for God. Because we're made in the image of God. Let us make man in our own image. Our hands are useful for him. Our feet are useful. Our mind, our head, everything on us. Because we're made in his own image, in his own likeness. So everything on us is God's property. And when we can see ourselves as God's property, we belong to Jesus. Then we understand that is not everything we see, we must bark. Sometimes the word, thank you, woman of God, Sister Camille. Sister Camille would have bring a word on Thursday. She said, Sister Camille said in that word,
hold your peace.
Hold your peace. Let God fight the battle. Let God, not everything you see must bark and try to use your own little energy. What is your energy to compare to the demon?
Amen.
Your energy is is insignificant. Just hold your peace and let the Lord fight the battle. You know, and it doesn't mean that must it doesn't mean you must just lay back, be a lay back, lazy person.
Yes.
You know, is an active hold. Active. When the hold piece is you're talking about activity. Because now the spirit is at work.
Yes, amen.
Yes. Go ahead, Sister Terry.
Yes, can you hear me? Good night, everyone.
Good night, Sister Terry.
I'm driving. So with this wonderful Bible studies, with this knowledge of how, you know, marriage works and how much we should keep our bodies holy because it's the temple of the Holy Ghost, we also know that marriage is a covenant, right?
Amen.
So the covenant is with God. So what if you have a partner who comes unsaved, who's unsaved or backslidden, and they are out into the world, and you are maintaining your relationship with God and that holiness. I mean, isn't he going to contaminate you? And if so, are you safe on the basis that it's a covenant? You know, should you still satisfy your wifely duties?
Jesus.
Very good question, Sister Terry. Just like how you are concerned with that question, Paul answered it in chapter 7, and we're going to go into it. But you being a believing wife and you have an unbelieving husband, I'm just pulling things from chapter 7 here. We're going to do it next week, God's willing. But you have an unbelieving husband. Paul is saying that you should not leave the unbelieving husband if he decide to stay. You know, if he decide to stay. But you know, you have clue or evidence that he's being unfaithful and he's carrying all of these baggage. He's going to continue to come in on you. That is why Paul saying that the believing wife, the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the believing wife, and even the children sanctified.
Yes. That is in chapter 7.
In chapter 7. So there's sanctification going on there. So you have to perform your wifely duties to that unbelieving husband. And so, but know for sure that you have to be so intimate with God.
Yes.
You know, so you can use wisdom to go through. That is why, you see, Paul is not against marriage, you know. Paul wanted to marry, but he said, if you can manage singleness like him, live single. Paul know that when a man and a woman come together in marriage, if the oneness no form, you're in problem, you know? Because both of you should become one. But if both of you are not one, you're going to have a strain apart. And that's where the strain in the marriage is now is going to happen. Because one of you is going that way and the other is going that way.
Tug of war.
Tug of war.
Yeah, there's a tug of war because you don't meet that oneness.
No.
It's hard to meet that oneness. Many times, many marriages have been compromised for one reason or the other. You know? You don't want the children grow up this way. You want them grow up according to how your grandparents grow you. You don't want the children to you know, so it's like I've seen church people, married church people, you know. I've seen where a Seventh-day Adventist married to a Sunday worship church. Maybe their justification of it because they're possibly married in that condition. The man is a Seventh-day Adventist and the woman is a regular Sunday worship.
Two different places.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they continue to go to church. And I see where they have children in the marriage. And that child don't know where to go. And the child don't go to church none at all.
Yes, yes.
They don't go to no church, none at all. Because they don't know whether they must go with mommy or whether they must go with daddy. They don't know whether they must join mommy Bible study or daddy Bible study. They don't know whether they must call mommy. They don't know because it confuses the relationship now. Sister Camille?
I wanted to finish that point, Deacon. It's a question I have.
Yes.
Go ahead with the question.
Yes, 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 Sister Camille.
So somebody sent me a message and said, sis, what if my partner has had multiple intimate relationships? Does these soulmates of his affect my personal life? So if I'm in a relationship, my husband would have had multiple partners and those soul ties that he would have had in those relationships, will that affect my personal life or our marriage? And to how do I break this, especially if the husband doesn't care?
Hey. Yes, it's going to affect. It's going to affect you for real because yes. Your husband is going to want to do stuff differently. He's going to want to have his own way of doing stuff. He's going to lean, you know, he's going to take something from that extra marital affairs that he's having and bring into your home. So he's going to want to pack out and prepare food differently. If he's preparing food, he's going to want to have some different type of language, you know, different type of communication, different type of bedroom practice that he would practice. You say, where you get this style from? Where you get this thing from? You know, because it's something now that he's taking into. You want to have instead of this salt fish in his callaloo, he suddenly want sausage in the callaloo instead of salt. And you say, where you get this sausage mentality from? We used to eat salt fish.
It's
affecting the relationship somehow or the other because he's taking something that he's seen that he can use. He's using the transferable skills from the one that is the fears that he's having, and it's affecting your relationship now because you're seeing a different husband.
Yes, right. And they're working ten times better than what the wife is doing because they want that wife's place.
Yes. So it's going to be a whole. You're not going to get the time, the attention that you also have with him, and so because now the time would have to be divided. You know, so it's going to affect your relationship.
Yes.
It's going to affect your marriage. It's going to affect your marriage. But the scripture tells us that marriage is honorable. Somebody?
Yes. And the bed undefiled.
Undefiled. Mm-hmm. When him lay down himself on that bed, nothing can defile that bed. It's undefiled.
Clean. It's clean.
It's clean. It's purity. Sanctified.
Pure.
You know, and in God timings, God is able to change that unbelieving person if it is his will to change that unbelieving person. Mm-hmm. Maybe that person is there to teach you a lesson.
Patience.
Yes, that person is there to teach you a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not until you learn that lesson, what God is trying to teach from that person. The you won't get that breakthrough and stuff, you know, until you learn that lesson and stuff, you know. Amen.
I would just add, Deacon, to the question that I asked to this person, I would say I'd agree with you to say yes, you know, it can affect it, but I would just encourage this person or these persons to just be praying, because as you would have said, burdens are lifted at Calvary, and I know that true repentance come from the actual person. Like, I can pray for my husband to reach a point of repentance, but I can't pray for him to I can't pray repentance prayer for him. I can only pray that he has an encounter with God that will lead him into repentance. And that's what I would say to the wife, you know, just be praying for the husband, or to the husband, just be praying for the wife, be praying for the partner constantly, you know, and just pray that God will deliver him, deliver her from these spiritual bondage that they are in, being tied in contact with Jesus. You know, these things will be revealed, and you know, they can seek repentance, and you know, the marriage can be well. But in the meantime, until it reached the point where God will step in, or where the husband or the wife will accept Jesus, I would just say, keep praying for deliverance, keep praying for healing, keep praying for revelation for this person, you know. And just ask God, maybe God can use you, even with being unsaved. God can use you, the saved one, to minister to the person, even if they don't reach a place where they submit immediately. But you can, some spouses are open and are aware of the spiritual devices. And, you know, if the Lord empowers you to break it down and say, listen, I learned this, you know, and I think that we need to pray this prayer to cut off, so that we can to cut off the soul ties. Maybe that person will respond. If it's a person that don't care, then your best bet is to just keep praying until it reaches a point where the person care. Like, yeah, that's what I believe.
Amen.
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 Bless the Lord. Sister Tanya?
Yes, I just wanted to add a little bit as well, because I'm, you know, with true transparency, that is my situation. My husband, he is not saved, but he came from a very Christian background. Both of his grandparents were pastors. He was raised in the church, raised, you know, he grew up in a Christian home. So those seeds were planted. However, as he got older, he just kind of had all these different ideas, you know, in his head, like, okay, well, does it really matter what your faith is, as long as you're a good person? You don't need to go to church. It doesn't take all that, you know, that type of attitude. And so my advice, and this is the things that I do, of course, I pray for him, and he allowed me to, I asked him, let me pray with you. Anytime he talks that kind of talk, you know, I say, let's pray. And I pray over him. When he's not home, I anoint our bedroom. I pray in our bedroom. Mm-hmm. I play gospel music in our bedroom, praise and worship in our bedroom. I anoint my room. I anoint all of the rooms in our home. I anoint my children. I pray over my children to make sure that no unclean spirit, whatever he's carrying. So, and
hallelujah.
I keep the words that keep me encouraged is that he that lives in me is greater than he that is in the world. So I know that no weapon, although we are dealing with two different spirits, I know it is a spirit of rebellion in him. And I also know it's a spirit, it's an antichrist spirit, because it seems like he's attracted to anything, any different religion. He's intrigued by it. And so I pray against those spirits, that they will not influence my home, because I know the God that I serve. And I know that there's no greater God. So I just pray those type of prayers over my home, especially my children, to keep them covered in the blood of Jesus. And I just keep praying for him. And I tell and I prophesy over him. And I tell him, I don't care what you say. I know that I'm praying for you. Your mother's praying for you. And, you know, I know that one day, I pray that Christ will just remove the scales off of your eyes, and that you will have a movement, a tangible experience that you cannot deny, and you will know who the true living God is. So that's my biggest advice is to make sure that you pray in your home, pray over your spouse, pray over your children, pray in your room. You have to make sure that the spirit that lives in you is present in that home. And so, and also another thing that I practice is just living a life of holiness. Because, you know, once you open up yourself to, you know, we're not perfect, right? But still, yes. I strive to be holy because I know my witness is important. If I claim to be a woman of God, I need to act like it in all of my deeds. As a wife, as a mother, so I make sure that I'm very careful about my actions because I know my witness is important because he is unsaved. So I make sure that I, in my deeds, I don't do anything that I believe will kind of turn him off from Christ, because we are going to be held accountable for those people, especially the people in our homes, because our home is our first ministry. So yes. We will be held accountable and to a higher standard. We have to make sure that we live our lives holy so that our witness will not be marred, you know, tarnished. So that's the things that I do. Amen. I just wanted to add that.
Amen. Bless the Lord, Sister Tanya.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, 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 yes. We have gone over time and we got to close off now. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Closing for us this evening will be Sister Thelma. I just want to wish Brother Gary happy 60th birthday. You know, today is his 60th birthday, and I give God thanks for him. Thank God for his life. You know, through many dangers, toil, and snares, he has already come. God's grace has brought him safe thus far.
Amen.
Happy birthday, Brother Gary.
Happy birthday, my nephew.
Amen.
Happy birthday, my son.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
My first child.
Yes. Yes. And I want to take this opportunity to welcome you all again, you know, to another interactive Bible study. And I've learned a lot from it, and I hope and pray that you have learned from it too. You know, if I have known these things long time, yes, maybe I would have been more conscious.
Yeah, a better person, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But nothing never happened before its time still.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. You know.
Brother Everton.
Yes, Minister.
You know what came to my mind? When he said flee, when Sister Grant read that, flee sexual immorality, guess who came to my mind? Joseph.
Yes. Imran.
Yes, Imran. Leave the shirt. Yes.
Who's that?
Joseph.
Okay, Joseph.
Yes.
Yes, when Potiphar's wife make her advancement.
Yes.
Yes, you know, so yeah, it's a blessing studying this passage, this chapter with you. You know, it's very provocative. It's a very provocative chapter, but when you get to the gist of it, you realize how deep it is, and we should really take note. Amen. Bless the Lord. I want to welcome any first time worshiper with us tonight as well. If you're here for the first time, we give God thanks for you. We look forward to see you again next week. If there is no other comment from the passage,
I have one comment.
Yes.
You know, it is just so important to know the Bible, to read the Bible, because if everyone reads the Bible from the beginning to the end, we don't even need no therapists. We don't need no, you know, like counseling of such, because look at that. Everything is right there.
Right there.
You go to the therapist, and it's like sometimes they maybe take stuff from the Bible. And, you know, I'm not saying therapy is not important too, but the Bible along with it
you know, it would make such a difference, because so many people don't know the Bible, because I'm learning the Bible more and more every day. Mm-hmm. And the more I read, the more I learn. And I'm like, this is like a big dictionary, a personal mm-hmm. dictionary, that if everybody really reads it, they would be on the right track.
Amen. Amen.
Because look at this chapter now, you know, this part of the Bible. It's so important.
Yes.
As yes. you said, if every young person know, not even young, old, because a lot of people don't know about these things at, you know, this age. And this Bible study is so important.
Very,
I wish there could be more, you know, like people joining and learning about these things. It is so important, because some of us already, it's late, but you can repent. Amen. And, you know, it's just important to read the Bible.
Amen. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes.
Mm. I learned a lot from it tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
This Bible study. Praise God.
Yes. Mm. Bless the Lord. And so, Sister Thelma, are you available to close us off, to make your final comments and close off?
Oh, yes. My brothers and sisters, the study is in depth, and I'm sure it affects everyone here tonight. I know we can go away with a message and a desire to live lives worthy of these lessons, to move away from dangers, and to go, I can say, go away as giants, refreshed with new wine to the glory of God.
Amen.
I love these lessons. It makes me stronger. Though I have been walking with the Lord so many years, but many things I was not aware of, or maybe didn't practice them per se.
Yes.
And so let us go to God in prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Our Father and our God,
Jesus,
we come again to you tonight, mighty God, to give you thanks and to give you praise.
Yes, Lord.
For your name. You are such a mighty God, a faithful God,
Jesus,
a loving God, oh, a God who promises to be with us at all times, never to forsake us, never to leave us. You're always with us, Almighty God.
Yes,
we give
Lord.
You thanks for your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for things seen and unseen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God, that we cannot praise you enough.
Oh,
we cannot thank you enough, mighty God. It has not come into our hearts to give the praise, to use words.
Oh, mighty God.
That you tell about you. Lord, we are so faithless.
Jesus.
Lord, we are so ungrateful.
Mighty God.
Yes, Lord. We are only thinking of ourselves.
Jesus.
We thinking of you. Lord, we have sinned against you in thought, in word, and in deed.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
We have not loved others as ourselves, nor you, mighty God. Yet, God, you are so faithful to us.
Oh, God.
You love us so well. Lord, you walk with us.
Jesus.
You talk with us.
Jesus.
When we're not thinking of your God, you are thinking of us.
Yes, Lord.
Mighty God.
Before we call, mighty God, your answer.
Yes, yes, Lord.
What a loving God. What a faithful God. What
mighty
a holy God.
God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. We come tonight, oh God, and we know your presence is with us.
Yes.
Thank you, Father God, that as we invite your presence with us, you stay by us.
Yes, Lord.
Just lessons, oh God, that only you can live through us, that we can walk the walk and talk the talk.
Mighty God.
Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you so many times. Lord, we are not faithful.
Jesus.
We are not worthy to be called your children. But Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, you love us.
Yes,
that
Lord.
Love you have for us, that you sent your one and only begotten Son.
Thank you, Jesus.
To go to the cross for us.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, at this moment, we humble ourselves before you.
Yes.
And we claim what Lord. Christ did for us.
Yes,
not because we are worthy, but because, oh God, of your love and your thought of us. Lord, you send your rain, your blessing
Mighty
upon
God.
The just and the unjust.
Yes, Lord.
Yes,
Lord, we have no other God but you, Jehovah God. Mighty God.
Mighty God.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Come into our hearts, oh God. In a special way.
Yes.
Forgive us, oh God, of the sins we have committed in thought, in word, and in deed.
Jesus.
Forgive us, Holy God, that we have not walked with you.
Oh,
we have
God.
Not talked with you. So many times we have forgotten about you.
Oh God.
So many times, oh God. Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh God. Oh God, when we think of your goodness.
Oh,
let me think of your mercy.
Thank you,
God. Our righteousness is just as filthy rags.
Yes,
dirty rags. Dirty rags. Yet you love us.
Mighty God.
Unfailing love.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Holy God. Thank you, Mighty God.
Thank you, God.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Mighty God. Thank you, Jesus.
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 Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Take off from us, our carnal ways.
Jesus.
Yes,
take from us,
Lord.
Our ungodly ways.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, oh God, our sinful ways.
Yes, God.
Lord, as we do this study tonight, your words speak volume to us.
Oh, Jesus.
Dirty. Lord, your blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness.
Oh,
yes, Lord.
Peace be in us, oh God. Guide us in our way, mighty God, in the way that we should go. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the one who has put this study together. And have gotten all of us together in such a way, oh God, that your Holy Spirit guide us into this study.
Yes.
And give us, Lord, by your mighty victorious right hand. Give us, Heavenly Father, over life's tempestuous sea. We have no other help but you.
Lord,
no other help but you, no other guide but you. Yes, Holy God. Yes, Holy God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes, Lord, I pray for those who are behind all this lesson, Lord. Lord,
for
my son Everton, oh God.
Mighty
Lord, for the study he has done, oh God, to get us together and to get the lessons put together and to teach us your way, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes, Lord, let the blessing fall upon him, Lord God.
Jesus.
Let the blessing fall upon his whole soul, oh God.
Oh, God.
Let the blessing fall upon the good of us, oh God.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
May we walk with you, Lord. May we magnify yourself in our lives,
Jesus.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
Lord, may we come to understand you more and more.
Oh, God, oh, God.
Oh, mighty God.
Thank you,
more and thank more.
You
mighty God.
Wash us, Lord.
Wash us,
Hallelujah.
Oh, God.
Purify.
Yes, oh God, transform
Hallelujah.
Us, oh God.
Yes, God.
Purify
yes,
us, oh
Lord.
God.
We need it, Jesus. We need
yes,
it.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
thank
Lord. And
you,
as we leave from here tonight, oh God,
thank
may we be stronger
Jesus.
In you. May
yes,
we
Lord.
Do
thank
your will,
you,
oh God. May we not forget these lessons,
thank
Father
you, Jesus.
God. These holy truths, mighty God. May we walk with them, Lord. Yes, Lord. May we talk about them, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Be with Lord. Thank you, mighty God. We pray tonight, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
For all who have been in this study.
Yes,
all
Lord.
All who have listened away from being in the group. Lord, thank you, God. Let your word be in them, oh God. Let your word satisfy their
yes,
sinful
mighty
heart,
God.
Oh God.
Thank you,
and lead them to Calvary.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Father God. Holy God, I pray tonight for those who are not well. Oh, God, in body, soul, or spirit.
Yes, Jesus.
Everybody illnesses, oh, God, help it out, Lord. Oh, God, cleanse us all from our sinful ways. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Those who are not well. Oh, God, you know where the sickness
Hallelujah.
Is.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, you know where everything is, the heartache and the problem. Mighty God. The sinful nature, Lord. Yes, God. Those who cannot pull away, oh God, from lives that they are in, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, Hallelujah. You know the way that we should go.
Yes.
Oh, Lord God, we just look to you, Jesus. We have no other one to look to, only you.
No other one.
Only you, Lord.
Yes, and Jesus.
We come, Lord. Just as we are, oh God, without one.
Thank you, mighty God.
And that thy blood was shed for us.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that Lord bid us come to thee. God, we do come.
We come.
We do come, Lord.
We come.
Lead us, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Lord. Help us, oh God, to be better people. To be holier people.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
To be more righteous people.
Oh, God.
To be more loving people.
Jesus.
Oh, God, to be more inclined to do your
will. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Lead us. Forgive us. Help us, oh God, to put Mighty all that God. Is not of you behind us and walk in your way.
Yes.
Let God take full control now. Lead us safely, oh God, to where we are to go. In our homes,
yes,
Lord. Jesus, be a door with us. Never leave us, Lord. You promised that you will never. And we hold on to your promise, Holy God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, as we pray and we lift up all of us, oh God, in your mighty and glorious name and say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Tepa.
Amen. Amen.
Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. The Lord God of our salvation, lift up the light of his holy countenance upon us all and keep us in the free spirit of deliverance from this day and forevermore.
Amen.
Be blessed, people of
Amen.
God.
Amen.
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 Greet one another as you go.
Nice.
You know.
Nice. Nice.